Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Steve.
And I'm Scott.
And welcome to another episode of The Last Podcast. How is everybody doing? More importantly, Scott, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm working on some new projects, so just chugging along. I finished up another issue of Second Shift, so I'm just waiting on my colorist to knock it out, and then we'll get that thing printed, but not before having the Kickstarter for it. So if you guys are paying attention in the month of March, just follow my social media, and hopefully the Kickstarter will be up at some point. I don't think it's going to be like the first week like I normally do. It's just I'm working on so many different projects all at once that it's just keeping me busy.
Excellent. And when you get that Kickstarter out, definitely let us know, and I'll go ahead and have that link put up on the episodes that we have while you are doing the Kickstarter. So
Right
people
on,
like the
man.
show that want to help can go ahead and help.
Appreciate it.
With that though, we're going to go and start the show as we normally do. We're going to jump into IMDb birthdays. Got lots of great birthdays today. I'm going to give you the actor slash actress, and you can go ahead and give me how old you think they're turning. We're going to go ahead and start off with the actress Emily Blunt.
Ooh, Emily Blunt. She's the one married to John Krasinski, right? Krasinski.
She is married to Jim Halpert.
Yes. So I'm gonna go ahead and say she is 43.
Ooh, close, Scott. She's turning 40 today.
Oh
She's
shit.
turning 40.
Sorry, Emily Blunt. I just
How?
figured Jim is closer, if not older than me.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't
I
know
don't.
why I'm just making assumptions.
No, that's okay. I mean, you can never really assume. Like with me and my wife is 6 years younger than I. So people always guess on that one. How about Mr. Josh Gad, the voice of that annoying snowman in Frozen?
Oh, that guy. Josh Gad. I think he's younger. I think he's I'm gonna say around 34.
It's 42.
Oh, lovely. All right,
Yeah.
I'm crushing this.
No, it's okay. We're gonna go ahead and knock out. I'm not gonna lie. I'm looking, and it is a lot of actresses. Here we go. Someone we're gonna both know. Aziz Ansari. How old do you think Aziz is today?
Shit, man. I don't know. Is he like 42?
Are you saying 42 or 40 as well?
42.
He's 40.
Ah, fuck.
And then we'll go ahead. I mean, there's a couple other ones. I really don't, I could name the actor, but I'd have to like name shit that he'd been in for you to know. So we'll go ahead and end with one of my favorite actresses that's having a birthday today, Miss Niecy Nash.
I don't know who Niecy Nash is.
Do you ever watch Reno 911?
I do. Oh, is she the one that was also in like Kids in the Hall and everything?
Yeah, she's gonna be she's also in Scream Queens. I don't.
Shoot, I'm gonna look her
She
up. Hold on.
is the African American actress on Reno 911.
Yes. Okay, cool. Shoot. Okay, I'm gonna say she is 52.
And that is, I think, the closest you are going to get. She is 53. You are ever so close.
Ah, okay. I feel pretty good about that one. All right.
Also celebrating a birthday today, Dakota Fanning, Samara Weaving.
Dakota Fanning, I'm gonna say she's like 27.
29.
Ah, okay. All right.
Lots, lot. Do you be surprised how many birthdays today would have been Peter Fonda's birthday? Today would have been Ronan Wilbur. I don't know who that is. Let's go ahead and get into the top six in the box office. Some great ones. Movies that have actually dropped from the number one position, lower than where they were last week. But coming in at number six this week, a movie that we talked about last week that I very much enjoyed, 80 for Brady, 3.8 million in that one. Scott, have you had a chance to see 80 for Brady?
No. Is it about
Remind
the Brady Bunch?
it is not. It is about four senior 80-year-old plus women that love Tom Brady that go to the Super Bowl in 2018. It's Lily Tomlin. I just blanked on them. Lily Tomlin, Rita Moreno, Jane Fonda, and Sally Fields.
Oh, okay.
Knock at the Cabin, number five, with $4 million. Number four, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, with 5.3. Falling from number one in the spot last week to number three, we have Magic Mike's Last Dance with 5.4 million. That's right, Scott. Last week, Magic Mike's Last Dance was number one in the box office.
I can believe it. The majority of the world is female, so
it's true. It's true.
And there's a percentage of men that would also like that movie. So that's a lot of bodies.
This is true. I've been told by many of people that I would probably very much enjoy Magic Mike 1 and 2. So I don't know why I wouldn't like 3. Coming in at number 2.
This isn't 3? I didn't know there was a second one. I thought this was the second one.
No, this is the third one. Magic Mike XXL. In which, if you don't know, stars Kevin Nash as a male stripper.
All right. He's like 55 or something in this movie.
Bro, he has still got it. If you ask me, Josh Brolin's did a great job as, I believe, Bishop in Deadpool 2.
Cable.
But if you wanted someone that actually looked like Cable in the comic book form that would have done a killer job, Kevin Nash.
I can see that. If he was Bishop, there would be a race riot going on.
I realize, as I said, 100%. Avatar, The Way of Water is number two at 6.6 million. And coming in at number one with $106 million, the movie we are about to talk about, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Very good. I keep hearing how this is the second lowest rated of all of the Marvel movies, right under the Eternals.
And it blows my mind. For starters, I love the Eternals. I don't know how your personal feelings are on Eternals are.
My girlfriend loved it. She loves origin stories, and that whole movie is an origin story. It is a little slow moving, but I enjoyed it. And so it being rated the lowest, I think, is an effect of the vibe that you get from all the other movies. Most of the movies feel like one piece. You're like, yeah, this is obviously in this, you know, family of movies. The only ones that are obviously very different are the Guardians of the Galaxy. And then even Thor, Ragnarok, it's still, even though it's so different than the first one, it's still in the vein of the Marvel, the MCU. So I can see how the Eternals would be a turnoff for the people that are like, yeah, I'm going to go watch an MCU movie. And you just have this very slow moving, methodical movie kind of letting you know, hey, this is why they weren't in Infinity War. You know, it's like they have to stay hidden. It's not their place to interfere with man, etc. So yeah, it's just very different than the other movies. So you could kind of see how those reviews would go that way. And yeah.
Yeah, but the older I get, the more I love a slow burn, with the exception of Sandman, which my wife says is going at the speed of sand.
Oh, really? I love Sandman.
Sandman
is fantastic.
I thought the first episode was so slow. My sister looked at me and goes, it gets really good after episode 5, to which I looked at her and said, if it takes half of a season for the show to get good, it's hard for me to follow.
I could see if that was what someone said to you and why you wouldn't watch anymore, but I don't agree with her at all. It's like British shows like Doctor Who, for instance, the CGI is terrible, but sure. You kind of go in knowing, oh yeah, this is just how the CGI is. So my first complaint with Sandman was just like, yeah, the CGI at times is wonky, but also I'm kind of used to it from Doctor Who. I liked Sandman out the gate. I liked the first episode. It may not have been the best episode, but I thought it picked up straight away. So I have no problems with Sandman. Everyone else that I know that are fans of the comic book itself love it.
Okay.
My friends that love Sandman, they love the show.
I haven't read the comic, but for me, the first episode and a half, I got about halfway through the second episode, and it was just too slow of a burn for me. But Ant-Man and Quantumania comes in at the second lowest. For me, this is my favorite Ant-Man movie. Only seeing it once, it goes Ant-Man, Quantumania, then it goes Ant-Man, then it's Ant-Man and the Wasp. What I love to do, what I always do, is I write down the trailers that we caught beforehand. So before we got Ant-Man and the Wasp, for me, I don't know what theater you saw it at. I caught it at AMC because I have the AMC Plus stubs thing that they have. But we
got, it's like unlimited for the month, right? You could just watch as many movies as you want. Is that the deal?
Yeah, it's like three, it's up to three movies at a time. And so I get, you know, I can get a large popcorn or a large soda at a small soda price. There's discounts to the whole thing of what I pay for what it's worth. So I try and go as often as I can. But with that, though, got some new trailers, got some old trailers of what we've talked about on the show. We got the newest trailer for Scream 6, which is a movie that I'm excited for. I have a Scream tattoo. I like everything that they've done with the series. Taking it out of Woodsboro. They're like, we're taking it out of Woodsboro for the first time. And I'm like, no, that was Scream 3 that took us to Hollywood. But let's not be picky about that. We got a trailer for, I don't know if we're going to call this a Nike story or if we're going to call this a Michael Jordan story, if we're going to call it both. It's called Air Courting a Legend. It's about the representative of Nike that went and found Michael Jordan as a young up-and-coming player, and it's the whole story of the Air Jordan.
Okay, interesting.
It looks like a very interesting, dramatic-type film. We got John Wick 4, a movie that I'm super excited for, as I love all of the John Wick series. 65, have you seen the trailer for 65 yet, Scott, for the new
I have not.
Adam Driver film?
Oh, shoot. I think I've caught it, but I was in the middle of something, yeah. It's kind of like a
man from the future travels back in time. It's futuristic weaponry versus dinosaurs.
Oh yes, then yes, I caught that and I was like, what is this? I want to see this.
We have the first full trailer for Super Mario Brothers, which I'm gonna say skeptical but excited for. I'm one of the few people, probably because it came out in 1993 when I was 11 years old, when I was 10 or 11, but I love the original Super Mario Brothers movie. I'm very excited with the cast that they have for this, even with Chris Pratt giving his own version of whatever you want to call it with for Mario. I think everybody is so used to, you know, it's a Mario that, like, everyone's expecting this, a little Italian man that's going to go around like that. That's what, and you know, like, they're giving us their own thing. I'm not gonna lie, Jack Black as Bowser sounds like Big Pete from Goofy.
You know, when I saw the Pikachu movie, I was like, oh, I don't like this. Why does he sound like that? And then you watch the movie and then it's fine because you understand why. But I can see why people would be upset that Mario does not sound like Mario. That's kind of a big thing. But also, it's, I don't care myself. Yeah, like, I played those games growing up, and it was just one of those things from childhood that it's just like, it's whatever. It's like, yeah, that was the one thing I left in childhood. So it doesn't bother me.
We got the trailer for the new Fast and the Furious film, which they're just calling Fast X. In which they're making Jason Momoa the bad guy, and whether or not he's in Fast 4 or 5, where they rob Rio de Janeiro, it looks like they're making him part of that whole storyline. Like, they're just inserting him there. Okay. And much like when I ride the Fast and the Furious ride at Universal Studios, I audibly out loud started hysterically laughing. When I'm at Universal Studios, it is when Vin Diesel jumps from a moving car onto a helicopter. If you watch the Fast X trailer, it's the thing that is so ridiculously unbelievable that I'm just not even going to talk about it.
He launches the car out of the helicopter and lands on other cars, right? Or something stupid.
Well, it's what they do. Yeah, it's like there's a helicopter and they throw like two magnets.
Oh yeah. And then he jumps a bridge and then the helicopter smash together.
Yeah. It's so, it's so fucking, it's so ridiculous.
As are all those movies.
Oh yes. Four more trailers. Oh my God. How many trailers did they give us? Dungeons and Dragons, which I've talked about before. I'm very excited as someone who just recently started playing D&D and learning the lore and all of that. It's very fun. I saw the first trailer for Disney's new movie Elements, which kind of seems like a spinoff of Inside Out. But I think that one's going to be very interesting. My wife will probably want to go check that out, so I will probably go and see it. Got another trailer for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Time, which they're still, it's the same trailer. They're giving us just sneak peeks of what's happening and not a lot other than that. And then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And I have to say, every time I see that trailer, I cry.
I don't watch it, so don't say anything about the trailer.
Not even a problem.
I don't watch trailers. I used to do only the teaser trailer, the very first trailer, and then I think for Quantumania Guardians, what is this, four, three? I didn't see those trailers, and I was like, oh, I think I'm fine just not watching trailers at all anymore. So I got lucky. I had to go out and I think we had some food ready. I watched it at Angelica, so. We had our little buzzer thing in there. So I left to go get the food and I came back and Guardians was on. I was like, oh, so I turned around and left until for like another.
I did that with Avengers Infinity Wars. Every time the trailer came on, I'd literally leave. But yeah, trailers ruin everything. The new
Yes,
Shazam
correct.
trailer shows everything. But with that being said, let's get into what you thought, what you loved, what you disliked. Let's talk about Quantumania.
Overall, I really enjoyed the movie. When we finished the movie, I went with my girlfriend and my best friend, and he had said that this had the lowest, second lowest rating right after the Eternals, and I was very confused. I was like, "Wait, what's the problem? Like, I don't see a problem here. This movie was really good. What's the issues?" And I even mentioned it on social media, and. Most people agreed with me that it's like, no, that's kind of crazy. Like everything was good. I don't see any problems. And there was one person that said they thought there was the writing was bad at times and it was only okay, and they felt like it was cheesy and corny. So let me go to my social media real quick because he had specific things that I just didn't agree with. I was just like, this doesn't.
Cheesy and
For
corny, like
yeah, so
that's what Ant-Man, like that's what, like I get it, but like Scott Lang isn't exactly the most serious of heroes.
right. So I asked which scenes were corny and cringy to you, and they had said when Janet and Hank were talking about their affairs and when MODOK and Casey Lang had their conversation, MODOK CGI was horrible. So I don't agree with any of those things because I thought the I have needs conversation, it was funny and interesting because
It's a real world situation.
it's a real world situation for her, for all of them. Like time had passed quite some time, and the interesting part of that though is like time moves slower in the quantum zone, right? And so for her, she was gone, what, 30 years in the real world or
Something like that.
something like that, right? She was gone for 30 years in the real world. I think they said a year there is a day. So five so when Scott was there, it was 5 hours to him. To the real world, it was 5 years.
Sure.
So she was only there, if we're going off this logic, she was there for 30 hours and she like fucked another guy. It's like, isn't that crazy? So like I think there's certain things like, just to go back to the Fast and the Furious where like, oh, this is the first time they've ever left the or wait, what was the no, Scream. I'm sorry, Scream. You're like, oh, this is the first time they're leaving this area, right? It's like, no, we clearly went out of it in Hollywood in the third one. Did you guys not remember those? Well, this is an instance of them not realizing, hey,
What they've done.
what they already set up.
Now really quick, this is my biggest complaint, and this keeps it in Marvel with everything. This is my biggest complaint about the first Iron Man movie and then what they did in Captain Marvel. In Iron Man, Coulson says we are the strategic comb, da 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 da, right? Oh,
Right.
we gotta think of a name for that. And
Right.
then we get Captain Marvel, where she time travels to 1997, 1998, and they are, oh, we're S.H.I.E.L.D. We're S.H.I.E.L.D. And but what happens to what happens 20 years later or 15 years, you know what I mean? What happened
Right.
to them being S.H.I.E.L.D.? to them being like, well, we need to think of a name.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
But it's
weird too with Tony's dad. Like every time they change Tony's dad from movie to TV show back to the original, I'm like, guys, what the fuck are we doing here? My head's spinning. And yeah. It's just like, in some movies and TV shows, Tony's dad acts like Tony, but like a different version of Tony, right? And that's why Tony's Tony. And he even looks like him. And then you get the older guy, and then you're just like, he acts nothing like the other actor does, and it doesn't make sense. It's like, can you guys just be consistent? Like, his character has to be consistent. Maybe he's a different person or it's a different age, but he doesn't act like the guy that he did in these other movies.
It's a multiverse.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, there it is. Fixes everything, right?
But I loved going back to Ant-Man. I loved MODOK. Like
MODOK, yeah.
MODOK. The whole character of him and who he ends up being, the whole story behind it. My only complaint, spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't seen the movie, I don't like they kill him.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
I would have liked a post-credit scene of like they did with Jeff Goldblum in Ragnarok, of Bill Murray at the restaurant being like, "Oh, that little squishly guy he almost ate me." Because we mm-hmm. see just him get like kind of thrown. So yeah. It's assumed, but I would have liked that. I have very few complaints about this movie at all. I very much enjoyed everything they did, jumping right into it. I will say the fact that they didn't bring back Michael Peña and the T.I. Bummed me out. I liked those characters. They did bring back the actor who played the Russian, David Devakovich or whatever his name is. He is actually the voice of the slime. How many holes do you have? You have seven.
Oh, okay, that's cool. That old crew there, they just, you know, I love that group. They were great in the first two movies, but it just didn't make sense to have them in here, and you kind of got to streamline these things as much as possible, and it just made sense without them.
For sure, but for me, you establish so much with them running the company, with them having a business that Scott is supposed to be a part of. And then it just starts with him like, I'm Ant-Man and I'm walking around town just doing anything.
Then right after that, it's the book tour. So if you look at it from that aspect, it's like, well, that part of his life might be completely over. He might he wrote this book. He saved the world, you know, probably.
Oh, you saved the world. You know, you should write a book about that.
You've never brought that up before. And so it's just like, okay, after you save the world, you write this book, then you have some kind of fame and he's making money off of that. It makes sense to be like, okay, my buddies, they have this business. They're all into this security aspect. They can run it. So if he owns a part of it and he's making money off of it, so be it. So for me, it just makes sense. It's like, look, I have studio mates that I haven't done any projects with since quarantine. So it's just like, it doesn't make them any less my studio mates, but when I throw books out there, they're not included because they didn't do anything on it. So, you know, everyone moves at their own pace. So for me, it didn't even register to me that they weren't there. It's like, I have tons of friends I don't see all the time. Doesn't make them not my friends. They're just not in this part of my life. So when I watched the movie, it wasn't even a second thought.
It always registers to me. I'm not necessarily, oh, wow. Okay. Gonna have to zoom that up. Ladies and gentlemen, apparently, since we're not pro, we got 10 minutes left. We can make this happen.
We can do it.
So in reality, when you come down to Marvel on the spectrum of the full show, where are you placing this? If you had to put it, not necessarily a number, would you say that this one is top 5, top 10?
It's firmly in the middle of the Marvel scale. Here's something I'll say about this. And I think this is where you get that rating with those people. And I've talked to a couple of people. They're like, oh, it was fine. And like the person on my social media who said those things, it's like, okay, I don't agree with the MODOK CGI. I thought he looked awesome. Every time it was an audible gasp and squirm of excitement when he was on the screen when he first showed up, and I was the only one, because I think I was in a theater. We watched it, I think, the following week from the release, right? Like 4 or 5 days after the release, and I was giddy as hell, and there was no one. You could hear a pin drop when he showed up on the screen. I'm like, oh, they're not like real comic book fans. They don't really get who he is. And then the reveal that it was Darren was amazing. So I have this film overall firmly in the middle, nowhere close to the bottom for me. I do love Ant-Man. The Ant-Man's movies, the series, is one of my favorite series. Like, I love the Captain America series, the Thor series, and Ant-Man. Ant-Man being probably one of my favorites. And the way I have them ranked is their number order. I love the first one. I love the second one. I love this one. And I think you know, if I watched it a couple more times, you can argue that two and three are, you know, switchable. You can mix those two up. It's not a big deal to me, but I just enjoyed all three of them so much. And honestly, like, even the ending, which when it first happened, I was kind of like, oh, that was kind of a weird, abrupt ending. But the gag, the more I thought about it, it's like, oh, no, but the gag is he just keeps thinking about it. You know, the last 3, 4, 5 minutes of the movie is, wait, did I mess up? Did I just screw things up? Wait, was I not supposed to do that? And it was just something he would go back and talk about. Sure. So for the movies just kind of abruptly end with him like, wait, did I do that? And then it just ends and it kind of goes, oh, fuck, did he do it? You know?
And he truly did, because we get that post-credit scene where we see thousands. The
Council of Kane.
And the mere fact, I just saw it. So I had seen the trailer for Creed 3. And now I re-see, once you learn who an actor is, and then you see all the stuff, like they have the movie Devotion, and he's the main actor in the movie Devotion.
Oh, yeah, you just start seeing those actors everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. And funny story, I don't know if you know this, he actually walked out of a Marvel meeting. He was sitting there years before he was, like, a couple years before he was approached for Kang. You can find, I go on Geek Tyrant all the time. That's how I knew about, like, Michael Peña and all of them not being in Ant-Man, the third one, because they kind of made a post about it and all of that. But yeah, you can find the article on Geek Tyrant about how he went to a Marvel meeting and everybody was just kind of sitting around and talking and not really giving him any attention. And he had just graduated college and he's like, I'm out of here. Like, whatever. And someone stopped him right as he was exiting and it ended up all working out. Okay. But as we do come to a close, where can people find you? What do you got? Plug the hell out of yourself.
I actually got a couple more things I want to say about the movie. Feel like we didn't even talk about the movie that much. The one, if I had one gripe,
you got 5 minutes.
Yeah, the one gripe that I have is Hope's hair. I could not stand her haircut in this movie.
Okay.
And by the end of it, I was used to it. That's not to say that I enjoyed it, but I was like, I'm used to it. It's fine. And then in the last scene, they like do something else with their hair where it's like dyed and highlighted. I'm like, what? Why do you keep messing with her hair? Like, it's so terrible. It's like in the the first movie, she has the bob, which is like traditional Janet Van Dyne hair. And it's just like, that's cool. Okay. That's like an ode because it's the daughter, right? Like, I dig it. The second movie, her hair's grown out. Like it even better. Just looks great, you know? And then the third one, it's this. And I'm just kind of like, all right, this is another ode to Janet from the comic. Okay. I guess I can get used to it. And then they just do something crazy at the end. And like, look, that's a nitpick. Like, I don't even, it's not even that big of a deal. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just the one thing that I go, if you had to get one thing out of me that I disliked about the movie, it was that. But beyond that, I was cool with everything. Another thing that stood out was the actress that plays the daughter. She got changed from Infinity War. Yeah, or is it a Infinity War?
Endgame.
That's right. Endgame. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's a different actress, and the actress found out, I think from the trailer or something like that, or the announcement of it. And she wasn't, maybe not the trailer, but like the announcement of the movie, and she wasn't, you know, in it. So that kind of sucks. And I thought she was a very strong actress from Endgame. And I thought at times this actress was not as good. Sure. And I was just like, there were times where I was like, it's okay. It's okay. And like, I'm not one that actually notices that a lot. So for me to go, oh, okay. Like, that was, like, I think the delivery, like, we could have used a second take on that. But overall, there wasn't many instances of it. I think it was just like one or two scenes when she first kind of showed up. And then I kind of got used to her and everything was okay.
Okay. I'm not even gonna lie. I didn't even notice it. So.
Yeah, I noticed because she had very thick eyebrows, and I guess that's the new thing now with girls, like these very natural thicker eyebrows, and that's fine. But I was just like, man, I think this girl needs to trim them, and you know, my best friend and my girlfriend was like, no, that's kind of the in thing right now, and I was like, oh, okay then, all right, like whatever.
Cool.
Yeah.
Really quick, because I know the time is wrapping up here for this. You have a little bit more time after that, because what we can always try is just ending this and then starting a new one, and then we have another like 10 minutes if you want.
No, I think I got to wrap it up after
that.
No,
that's fine then.
Okay.
Anything else that you really want to talk about with Ant-Man? If you were to give it a rating, 1 out of 10, what would you give it?
I would give it a 7.5.
Cool.
If you told me 8, I wouldn't be mad at it. It's not a 10.
I was going to say 8. I'm not going to lie. I was going to say 8.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Yeah. I'm completely good with that. That's a solid rating. The people out there that dislike it, I'm sorry, you guys. Oh, that. Okay. So my last point on this, and we'll wrap up, is the problem with people that are rating it lower is because they think everything is a culmination after Endgame. They're expecting phase one is the ground level. And then like the Infinity War saga, the Thanos saga, ends at what, phase 4? Something like that. It was literally built up for 10 and a half to 11 years to get you to Thanos. So the problem is, a lot of people are feeling like, well, this is one level higher. No, we're back to ground level again.
This is all build up from here.
Yes, these are like comic books. Think of them like comic books. You have a storyline, you build up to the end, and then the story's over. You don't start exactly where you left off right after that. No, it comes back to reality, and people
and
do what they do,
and
you build it back up. So think of this as ground one. So if you think about it, you think about these movies, the phase five, right? If you think about phase five like that, you won't be as disappointed, because I think where your expectations are far too high to what they're trying to do. It's like, no, guys, this is phase one again. Like, I think they should have renamed it. I think we're back at phase one. And then it can refresh people's minds to go, we're building up to this Kang storyline. This is the first level of it. This is the first chapter. This isn't the last chapter.
Absolutely. Scott, thank you so much for coming on as we do wrap it up here. Quick wrap. I know you got Accidental Aliens. You got The Second Shift.
Yes. You can find me at Scott Lost, ScottLost on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/ScottLost. You can pick up my book, Second Shift, Minimum Wage Superheroes, at accidentalaliens.com, and Wanderers of Melisandre, Anthropomorphic Dinosaurs versus Humans, also at accidentalaliens.com.
Awesome. Scott, thank you so much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of The Last Podcast You'd Want. And until next time, tip the veal, try the staff, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for coming to see our show.
Sad to tell you, we got to go.
Grab your hat and head for the door.
In case you didn't notice, there ain't any more. If you like our show, tell everyone but. If you think it stinks, keep your big mouth shut.
If a new thing but we have to shout.
Adios, au revoir.
It's over.